Welcome, my friends. It's so good to know that we're getting ever closer to spring, isn't it? Seeing the crocuses pop up, the weather getting a little warmer, the robins showing up, all signs of beauty and hope. As we begin our worship today, let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dearest Lord, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, as we again come together from far and near, we pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear you. We pray that you would open our minds and hearts that we might be fed and filled by your Holy Spirit. Renew our hope, our trust, and our faith, and strengthen us for the work you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads us in song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Every high priest selected to represent men and women before God and offer sacrifices for their sins should be able to deal gently with their feelings, since he knows what it's like from his own experience. But that also means that he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the people's. No one elects himself to this honored position. He's called to it by God, as Aaron was. Neither did Christ presume to set himself up as high priest, but was set apart by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I celebrate you." In another place, God declares, "You're a priest forever in the royal order of Melchizedek." And while he lived on earth anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. And then having arrived at the full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation. to all who believingly obey him. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, I confess, I'm not much of a city girl, but years ago, Tim and I had the privilege of seeing Les Miserables with the kids back when it was on Broadway. As most of you probably know, well, it's a powerful story. It's based on Victor Hugo's timeless novel about a man named Jean Valjean, who served a 19-year sentence in prison just for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his sister's family during a serious time of economic depression. Well, finally, he's set free, but times were still tough. And in desperation, he steals some valuable silver from the local bishop, and it doesn't go well. He's quickly caught up by a policeman who already has it in for him. But then something really amazing happens. The bishop goes and tells the police that actually he had given the silver to Valjean and nothing was stolen. Well, this act of kindness radically changes Valjean. He becomes this kind, devoted father figure to a young girl who's lost her mother, and he continues to find ways to help those who are suffering and in need. And while the police officer refuses to see Valjean as anything but a criminal, Valjean chooses even to forgive him. When Valjean later dies, he's holding those two candlesticks that the bishop gave him. And what is it that so completely changed him and that eradicated his bitterness? Well, Valjean chose to show compassion and mercy because in his suffering, well, compassion and mercy have been shown to him. Now, while this story may be fiction, mercy really does change lives in so many ways. And James S. Hewitt offers another good example of this. Salvation Army Officer Shaw, who was a medical missionary, was sent to India to assist as the Salvation Army was taking over a leper colony. As Captain Shaw was touring the facility, he saw three men with manacles and fetters binding their hands and feet, cutting into their already diseased flesh. And so he turned to the guard and he asked him, he said, "Please unfasten the chains." "But it isn't safe," the guard said. "I mean, these men are not just lepers. They're dangerous criminals." But Captain Shaw insisted, and he said, "I'll take responsibility for them. They're suffering enough." And he took the keys, and then he knelt and gently removed the shackles, and he treated their bleeding ankles and wrists. Well, about 2 weeks later, Captain Shaw did have some second thoughts about his decision of freeing them. You see, he had to make an overnight trip, and he was a little worried and anxious about leaving his wife and child alone. But his wife insisted that she wasn't afraid, that God was with them, and they'd be fine. Well, the next morning, when she went to the front door, she was shocked to see these three criminals lying on the front steps. What were they doing there? Well, they explained that knowing that the doctor had to be away, they decided to stay on the steps overnight to make sure that she and the child stayed safe. They chose to show compassion and mercy because in their suffering, compassion and mercy had been shown to them. Now, one of the things we humans struggle with most is suffering. And unfortunately, we don't always deal with it very well. Back in the early 1960s in the Deep South, when there was this huge backlash against civil rights movement and the violence became especially brutal, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to a packed church one evening, and he said, "We have entered into a season of suffering." One could easily make the case that over this last year, as we've faced a worldwide pandemic, fires, floods, closings, violence, we too have entered a season of suffering. So many lives lost, so many left permanently disabled, and so many who've lost their homes, their livelihood, their sense of normalcy, their hope for the future. But as Erskine White reminds us, there are going to be seasons of suffering in everyone's life. So the question we have to answer is, how do we choose to deal with it? And he points out too that unfortunately, one very popular way of coping with suffering is to take it out on someone else. He says, if you're suffering, try to make yourself feel better by making someone else feel worse. Well, sadly, we have seen too much of this over the last year. But as we should know, that solves nothing and only makes things worse for everyone. As even the Bible teaches, suffering is a part of life, and there are lessons to be learned from it. Of course, that's probably not what we want to hear right now, but the truth is all struggle with suffering, and one of the big questions we all have is why? Why do we suffer? And we see Jesus suffered, and again we ask, but why? And actually, there's some very important reasons for both. We've all known people, haven't we, who seem to have led very protected lives, who seem to have dealt with few problems and end up only seeming to care about themselves. You know the ones. And then when someone's in trouble, well, their response is, hey, they just brought it on themselves. It's their own fault. Yeah, they blame the victim. And because they've always been insulated from hardships themselves, they have little understanding or compassion for those who do suffer through little or no fault of their own. And what makes us really sensitive toward others? Going through hardships ourselves. Well, our stories may all be different, but our pain genuinely helps us to empathize with the pain of others. It helps us to love and not to judge. It helps us to treat others in caring ways that can literally change their lives. I have to say that though I never would have chosen them, I'm eternally grateful for all the ways that God has taught me things through hard times. Being bullied at a young age taught me to try to look out for others who are being bullied. Growing up with a divorced mother and also with step-siblings during a time when divorce was considered unacceptable made me more aware of the unique challenges facing so many families. Having a stepfather in a wheelchair due to polio and a stepbrother with bipolar gave me a unique experience of what it was like to live with disabilities and loved ones who had them. Living in poverty with rationed food, even with both parents, all as kids working, taught me just how fragile finances can be, even when you're doing all you can to survive. And so, so much more. And all of it continues to raise my awareness of the battles waged by those least able to fight just to stay alive. And it gives me a desire to be a voice for the voiceless. Truth is, our suffering teaches us very important lessons that we just can't learn any other way. And as we learn from our own suffering, we too have the opportunity to pass on mercy and compassion as those who genuinely love and care for our neighbor. And knowing that Jesus has walked in our shoes, that he understands not only what it is to be human, but that his suffering took him all the way to his death on a cross on our behalf, what sends us a very clear message. He gets us. He understands. He understands what it means to be human and to deeply suffer. And he has a mercy and compassion and love for us like no other. And he is worthy of our trust. Some years ago, the Archbishop of Paris came to preach in the Notre Dame Cathedral. 30 years earlier, he told the congregation that there were these three young tourists who had come into this very cathedral. All of the young men were rough, rude, cynical, and seemed to think that religion was pretty much a racket. Well, as they were joking around, two of them dared the third young man to go into the confessional box and make up a confession to tell the priest. The two bet that third young man that he didn't have the nerve to do it. But he decided to prove them wrong, and in he went. Well, the priest was no dummy, and he quickly figured out that the young man was just playing games. A giveaway was that young man's tone was very arrogant, and he didn't sound a bit sorry, though he claimed otherwise. So after hearing the confession, the priest said, "Very well, my son. Every confession requires a penance, and this is yours. I ask you to go into the chapel, stand before the crucifix, look into the face of the crucified Christ and say, 'All this you did for me, and I don't give a damn.'" The young man went back to his friends, bragging that he'd done it, but his friends insisted that it wasn't over yet. He still had to do the penance. So he made his way into the chapel. He stood before the crucifix, and he looked up into the face of Christ, and he began, "All of this you did for me, and I don't give this point in the story." The archbishop leaned over the pulpit and he confessed to the congregation that young man was me. That's the miracle of the cross, my friends. When we begin to truly understand the love on that cross, the suffering endured for us, the sacrifice made, we can't stay the same either. And that's the point. My friends, may we too choose to show compassion and mercy, because in Christ's suffering, true compassion, mercy, and love have been shown to us. Let us pray. God of our future, hear our prayers. We confess that in spite of our best efforts, too often we live as if you're not even there, as if we alone are lords of our destinies. We confess that sometimes we give up too easily or settle for the good when you always want to give us the best. Forgive us. Break through our stubborn resistance. Calm our fears and strengthen our faith. And help us to live fully in the hope you give us every day. Help us to learn and grow through our suffering. On this day, we pray for all your people, even as we pray special prayers for leaders in the future of our country. We pray that in spite of our differences, we may find new ways to come together and heal our brokenness. We thank you for our church family, Lord, with deepest gratitude, for ways to connect and serve and share our gifts, even as we pray for that blessed time when we can gather again in person. We pray for an end to this pandemic, Lord, even as we pray for all those impacted in so many ways with so many losses. May you give comfort and strength and peace of mind to all those suffering. Help us to choose to show compassion and mercy in all that we do, never forgetting that in Christ's suffering, true compassion, mercy, and love have all been shown to us. Give us wisdom and a willingness to follow where you lead, Lord. Show us new ways to help others, that no one might go hungry, that no one might be without shelter or essentials in this time of great need. God of our future, God of our hope, hear our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we don't have to stay stuck. We will fail, but we have a God who loves us so much, who understands us better than we understand ourselves. And when we look at ourselves and confess, he forgives us and makes us brand new. My friends, also know that our suffering does not have to own us, but that God can use all things to bless us and bless others. And now may you go in God's strength, God's love, God's mercy and compassion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.